This is the Sun Life Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones.
Brady takes the snap, back to throw, gets rid of it down the field. Caught, 20-yard line, 30, 35, 40, down the left sideline. He's going to go the distance, a 99-yard touchdown play.
The Sun Life Patriots postgame show is your source for instant news and reaction following every Patriots game.
The Patriots are Super Bowl champions.
Join the conversation by calling the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium, here's your host, Adam Jones.
Not exactly how the Patriots drew this one up, huh? But the Patriots do clinch a bye week with a 27-24 victory over the Miami Dolphins. And this one truly was a tale of two halves. Patriots go into halftime with a missed field goal, trailing 17-0. And you're sitting there going, did the Patriots let this slip through their fingers? Is the defense finally catching up to the Patriots? And never mind the defense, just the offense. Such an up-and-down performance in that first half, given the injury situation on the offensive line, which we'll get to. But whatever happened in that locker room at halftime, I would not want to have been in there as the Patriots come out motivated in the second half and really answer the bell, scoring on each of their first five drives of the second half to beat the Dolphins 27-24, excuse me, in that game. And the Patriots pick up their 12th win and earn a bye week in the postseason by taking down the Dolphins and really rallying in that second half. In this game, all about two words for the Patriots: mental toughness. As they tune out that first half, similar to how they've bounced back, although it's been on the road in the past, the Eagles game, the Redskins game, what have you, and they're able to still rally to this victory over the Miami Dolphins in a hard-fought AFC East win. As again, the Patriots improved to 12-3 with a 27-24 victory over the Miami Dolphins. It is the Sun Life Patriots.com postgame show. I'm Adam Jones, live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. You can give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or email us webradio@patriots.com. And we told you a tale of two halves, not just from the Patriots team, but also from their quarterback, something we want to investigate throughout the course of this Sun Life Patriots postgame show here on patriots.com. And we'll kick things off as we always do with the good, the bad, and the injured.
Now it's time for the good.
Nice!
The bad.
You don't talk to me, all right? Knock it off!
And the injured.
I've fallen, and I can't get up.
On the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones on Patriots.com radio.
We told you a tale of two halves in this one as the Patriots take down the Miami Dolphins 27-24 and lock up a bye in the AFC playoffs. Tom Brady in the second half was all good. 20 for 27, 217 yards, and three touchdowns, two of which came on the ground to tie a career high for Tom Brady, whose second half performance was markedly different from his first half performance, something we'll get to here in just a little bit. Wes Welker also with a monster day for the Patriots, 12 catches, 138 yards, and his 42-yarder in the second half set up the Patriots' go-ahead field goal at the time to put him in front, 20-17. That Patriots second-half defense, also immense. 126 yards allowed in the entire second half. That's after getting gouged for 255 in the first half. Patriots forced two turnovers in the second half. One was a fumbled exchange between Matt Moore and his center, which Vince Wilfork recovered. The other was an interception by Devin McCourty, of all people. And the Patriots allowed just 7 points in that second half. So that second-half defense and the second-half Brady, pretty good in this one. On our bad list, the first half from Tom Brady, atrocious. 7-19, 87 yards, bouncing throws at receivers' feet, missing receivers left and right, especially Welker in that first half. And the Patriots trailed 17-0 at that point. Not a coincidence. Devin McCourty, I thought an atrocious day from him, interception aside, allowed a 39-yard pass to Brian Hartline, 47-yard pass to Brandon Marshall, also had a pass interference call on 3rd and 12, and a dropped interception, and that was just the first half of this game. He also had that 41-yard catch that he allowed to Brandon Marshall, which set up the Dolphins' score to pull Miami back to within 3 points at the end of the game, right before that Devon Best touchdown. I also thought Nate Solder had a rough day, as did really the entire offensive line. but Solder specifically in this one, replacing Matt Light and allowed two sacks, one to Jason Taylor, one to Cameron Wake. Rough day for him, as it was for the entire Patriots offensive line on the injury front. We mentioned Matt Light, scratched from this one in pregame warmups with an ankle injury. He was inactive, which meant Logan Mankins had to slide over to left tackle, and he was lost early in that football game for the Patriots. On their second drive, they lost Logan Mankins with a knee injury. He did not return to the game, so certainly something that bears watching here. Over the course of the Sun Life Patriots postgame show here on Patriots.com, I am Adam Jones, live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. You can give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or email us webradio at patriots.com. And the question on the table, with the Patriots taking down the Miami Dolphins 27-24 in this one and locking up that first round bye, you feel better or worse about the Patriots after this performance? Because it is a mixed bag when you look at the way the Patriots played today. That first half was terrible, and really, the secondary was pretty bad throughout in this one. Matt Moore, ton of passes, 294 yards, three touchdowns. We know that quarterbacks can throw all over the Patriots. Something that's alarming, and an alarming trend that's been going on with the Patriots recently. Starting in the Washington game 3 weeks ago, carrying over to the Denver game this week, last week, and now the Miami game this week. Opponents have been able to run on the Patriots. They've been passing on New England all season. Now they're able to run as well. Just 115 yards on the ground for the Dolphins, but Reggie Bush, before he left with a knee injury, 113 yards on 22 carries. That's 5.1 yards a pop. That is not good enough for this Patriots run defense. So that's a scary aspect of this performance. However, that second half, I think, is closer to what we should expect out of the New England Patriots. Miami came in, caught the Pats off guard. New England forced a couple of turnovers in that second half. They limited that Miami offense in the second half. And ultimately, the offense got going for the Patriots. And look, early on in this game, I thought Mike Reese tweeted this out. Early on in this game, it looked like a similar formula to the Patriots crumbling in the postseason, be it against the Ravens, be it against the Giants in Super Bowl 42, or the Jets last year. The offense just could not move the football, and the Patriots struggled against a strong pass rush. And that's what appeared to be going on early in this football game for the Patriots. But they turned things around in the second half. We told you, Tom Brady, just a lights-out second half for the Patriots in this one, as he goes 20-27, over 200 yards, three touchdowns, and a couple of rushing touchdowns for Tom Brady, which, again, tie his career high on the ground. I thought there were more good signs from the Patriots in the second half, and I thought they outweighed all of the shortcomings the Patriots had in that first half. And I do believe that the Patriots are closer to that team that we saw in the second half. So, look, I'm sure people around these parts will be crushing the Patriots all week, crushing the defense, crushing the effort they came out with to start in the first half. And you know what? They're right. If the Patriots come out with that type of performance against the postseason team in their first playoff matchup in the divisional round, is what it'll be now, as they've locked up a bye week, you're not going to win against a playoff-caliber opponent. Fortunately for the Patriots today, they had the Miami Dolphins. It is the Patriots postgame show presented by Sun Life here on Patriots.com. I'm Adam Jones, live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. You can give us a call at 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. Or email us webradio at patriots.com. Here's the agenda coming up on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. You heard from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick coming up here in a little over 20 minutes, as he'll give his thoughts after the Patriots' 27-24 win here in Foxborough over the Miami Dolphins. You'll also hear from Patriots quarterback Tom Brady right around 5:30 Eastern time, and we'll also go around the AFC East. And you'll hear, hopefully, from a member of the New England Patriots from that victorious locker room after taking down the Dolphins today here in Foxborough. Patriots again improve to 12-3 and lock up a first-round bye week in the postseason with that win today. Let's hit the phones here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show at 508-298-0398. We'll kick things off with Ray down in Florida. You're first up here on Patriots.com. What's going on, Ray?
What's happening, Pac-Man?
How you doing, man?
I'm doing great, man. Having a good Christmas. Merry Christmas, by the way.
Merry Christmas to you, too.
Hey, listen now, man. The way we started that game, it wasn't pretty, you know, but, again, the same story, second half. Brady came out, the receivers were up to it, and, we pulled out the win.
No, I mean, I totally thought that's the way it went down, Ray, and thanks for the phone call. 508-298-0398, that's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us, webradio, at patriots.com. totally a tale of two halves. And what was the difference for the Patriots between the first and second half? Was it just a matter of focus? Was it a matter of motivation? You know, was it the coaching staff getting into the team at halftime? These are things we'll find out, you know, from Bill Belichick and Tom Brady at the podium. And, you know, I just think you look at the way that second half rolled out. The Patriots had the ball moving at the end of the first half. They came up with an empty field goal, but that two-minute offense, that got them going a little bit. They came out in that hurry-up offense to start the second half and started with a 22-yard play to Gronkowski, a 15-yarder to Ocho Cinco. They converted with a Brady sneak on fourth down, ultimately knocked home a Gostkowski field goal from 45 yards out. First points on the board for the Patriots. And the answering drive, they're able to force a fumble, though it was on the exchange between Moore and his center. Wilfork falls on top of it. Patriots have a short field. They start at the Dolphins 38, and then they're able to get into the end zone. That's that play that was reviewed, the Deion Branch touchdown, and that really turned the game. You know, I'm there in the press box, and I'm sure in the stadium you could feel it even more, but you could feel momentum turn at that point, and the Patriots were really in control of the game from that point on. So that first score and then the forced turnover, that turned things around. I would venture to say that was more than any speech that riled the guys up in the locker room or anything along those lines. Patriots continued to play good defense after their offense really shot themselves in the foot in that first half. There was a point where the Patriots had more three and outs, four, than Tom Brady had completions in that first half. And we gave you the numbers on Brady, just 8-17 in the first half, or excuse me, 7-19 for 87 yards in that first half. I don't think that's a coincidence. Patriots can't come out on offense like that and expect to have a lead, even against a team like the Miami Dolphins. It is the Patriots postgame show here on Patriots.com. I'm Adam Jones live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. The Patriots postgame show is presented by Sun Life. Sun Life, among the highest rated insurance companies in the United States for group life, disability, and dental benefits. Get to know Sun Life at www.sunlife.com. We'll hear from you on the phones. The Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. You can email us webradio@patriots.com. Simple question on the table there. Were you encouraged or discouraged by this Patriots performance today, a 27-24 win over the Miami Dolphins? Let's go back to the phones. Brandon's in California, and you're next up here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show.
What's up, Adam?
What's going on, man?
Well, the first half, I was a little bit scared. I was not going to finish watching the game because they were doing so bad. But they got together. I think that was a better performance on the defensive part than the offensive part because if you look, defense kind of kept us in the game. So what do you think about that, like our defense playing this game?
I thought the defense in the second half was great, Brandon, and thanks for the phone call. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us webradio@patriots.com. Look, this is the second straight game. The Denver game was the same way. They buckled down after the first quarter in that game. Second straight game where the Patriots buckled down defensively. In this case, it took an entire half. They allowed 255 yards to the Dolphins in that first half and then settled by allowing just 126 in the second. A touchdown late, forced a couple of turnovers, although forced I would put in quotation marks, as one was a fumbled exchange between Matt Moore and his center, but the Patriots capitalized on that with the Deion Branch touchdown, which pulled them back within 7 points. So I thought the defense was great in the second half, and it's a mixed bag, but I don't know that you're going to get much more than that out of this Patriots defense. You hope they hold in the red zone, and you hope that they can bounce back from slow starts like this. You know, they did it in the Broncos game where they got gouged in the first quarter. Same thing happened here in the first half against the Dolphins. But they made adjustments, or they just played better on that side of the football. And I think you saw that offense and defense working in unison in the second half, where the Patriots offense moving the football really helped out the Patriots defense. So look, you needed both firing on both cylinders or on all cylinders. But I do think we saw that at least through most of that second half. But I thought the defense started to turn things around. You know, Patriots offense sputtered with a field goal to start the second half. You're hoping they'd start off the half with a touchdown. And they come back with a forced fumble. And then on the next drive for the Dolphins, Patriots force a three and out. And, you know, you're sitting there going, okay, well, the defense is starting to stem things a little bit. Patriots tie it up at 17 apiece. And then Miami goes for broke. And Matt Moore way underthrows his wide receiver, Brian Hartline. And McCourty makes a good athletic play on it and picks it off. It is the Sun Life Patriots postgame show here on Patriots.com. Adam Jones, live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. You can give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or email us webradio@patriots.com. I will say on Devin McCourty, who was on my bad list, and maybe that's too harsh in a day where he had an interception, but he was terrible, especially in that first half today. And if there's any reason to feel good about this Patriots pass defense, you'd hope that you'd start seeing McCourty turning things around a bit. Or at least see McCourty not getting burned play after play after play. Even if he's not out there making plays, at least you don't want to see him constantly looking over his shoulder and getting beat. And that's what we've seen in this game especially. I gave it to you right off the bat. But these are the plays McCourty was involved in outside of that interception. And look, he also had a nice breakup early on in the game. I didn't believe it was a breakup until they showed the replay. I thought it was CBS being nice to Devin McCourty until they showed a replay of the breakup on Brandon Marshall. And I said, you know what? Forced the three and out right at the end of the first quarter. Good on McCourty. So a couple of plays he flashed, certainly. But by and large, this is what I'm going to remember out of Devin McCourty's day. 39 yards to Brian Hartline, 47 to Brandon Marshall. A pass interference on 3rd and 12, which I know a lot of Patriots fans took exception to, but Mike Pereira came out on Twitter and said, look, it's not uncatchable, guys, if it hits the receiver in the hands. And McCourty, even if it was uncatchable, it's still a boneheaded play because he's dragging the receiver down before the ball gets there. McCourty also dropped an interception in the end zone in the first half and then gave up that 41-yard catch to Brandon Marshall, which set up the Devon Best touchdown, which pulled the Dolphins back to within a field goal. So I thought it was just a terrible day for Devin McCourty. And a couple of things that I have my eye on the Patriots defense today. Could they shore up the run defense? They couldn't stop Bush. I mean, overall, they stopped that Miami run defense, or at least held them to low 100 yards, 115 yards. It's not a terrible day by the run defense, but Bush ran all over them. So that's the third straight game where you sit there and you go, okay, is there an issue with the run defense? And Devin McCourty just seems to be regressing. And I don't know how many times we can say it. Like, how much worse can Devin McCourty's performance get? I didn't think it would get much worse than what we saw through the first month of the season. He came back from injury. You thought, all right, maybe not only can he get himself right physically, but he can clear his head. And I do not think this is a physical situation with McCourty at all. You know, it just looks totally like it's either mental. And when I say that, it's, you know, thinking too much, or it's just, you know, being gun shy out there from being burned so much in the past. But Devin McCourty constantly looking at the back of Miami Dolphins receivers and their jerseys throughout the course of this game. I thought McCourty really struggled in coverage today for the Patriots. Certainly nothing new on that front, but another poor development for the Patriots, although they do take down the Dolphins 27-24, improved to 12-3 here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show on Patriots.com. Adam Jones live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. You can give us a call, 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. Or email us, webradio@patriots.com. You know, looking around the AFC, and it's been an awful season in that conference, and really a tough week when you look back to or the end of last week through Thursday coming into this week. Remember, last week you had Baltimore dropping a game to San Diego on Sunday Night Football. You had Pittsburgh losing on Monday Night Football. Houston has now dropped two straight, including Thursday night to Indianapolis. And you just look around the conference, the Broncos, we thought were coming on, at least I thought were coming on in the conference. And now they're sitting there in a two-way tie with Oakland and Kansas City, you know, still back there. Kansas City lost today. So Kansas City out of the running there. But you're looking at Oakland and Denver now in a real dogfight in that AFC West. So another team losing, the Jets lost today to the New York Giants. It looks like they have an uphill battle to fight as the Jets sit there at 8-7. They're now a game behind the Cincinnati Bengals at 9-6. You look at that AFC playoff picture, and I said this before the show. I do a pregame chat up in the Putnam Club with Brian Lowe, and today Patrick Pass was our guest. You know, you look around the AFC, and it's hard to believe, but the Patriots aren't only going to be the one seed. They're the bona fide favorites in the conference right now. You know, forget just being the one seed in name only. Look at the other teams. You know, look at the issues facing the other teams in the conference. Baltimore, and I know they won today. I would not trust Joe Flacco, and that defense does not look any younger. Houston just lost to the Colts. They've dropped two straight. T.J. Yates is their quarterback. The Broncos have now dropped two straight, and the Patriots already handled them on the road. Sticking with the AFC West, Oakland, Carson Palmer's their quarterback. You know he's going to throw a back-breaking pick. Pittsburgh, they're the most dangerous team to me. But Ben Roethlisberger ain't healthy, and until he gets healthy, you can't take Pittsburgh seriously. And then you have Cincinnati knocking on the door, rookie quarterback. I mean, that's your conference. That's the AFC. Those are the teams in the mix. So, again, I say the Patriots aren't just the number one seed. They're the bona fide, hands-down favorite in the conference. And that was underscored in the win today. Although it wasn't their most impressive effort, the Patriots do continue to win. And that's more than you can say about a lot of the other teams in the AFC. We just took you through what some of the other teams in the conference have done. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. It is the Sun Life Patriots post-game show. Adam Jones live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. We'll go back to the phones. Our good buddy Olivier is down in Virginia, and you're next up here on patriots.com. What's going on, man?
Beckman, how are you?
Excellent.
Well, first of all, I'd like to wish a Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays to Patriots Nation. And
appreciate
to you,
it, man.
And
Merry Christmas
and
to you
Kevin
as well.
And everyone else.
Appreciate
Thank you.
It.
You know, I have to say that the first half, I was dialing my psychiatrist for a first appointment available just for therapy.
I was going to say, Olivier, I think the Patriots and Bill Belichick, you know, their early Christmas gift to all Patriots fans was heart attacks or something along those
exactly,
lines.
Exactly, yes. Yeah. Yes, absolutely, for everyone. And then I don't know what happened. I guess they made the right adjustments, and I think they started to believe in themselves. I'm not really sure what happened initially. I think we went like for five tries or five series without even a point. I'm not really sure how we can qualify what happened and what you think about it. And but you know, the defense showed up again, even though they allowed a lot of yards, but it seems that they made plays when they had to. So it gives me a little bit of confidence of what could happen during the postseason. But one thing is for sure is hopefully Belichick will use what happened in the first half as motivational material for us, so we don't reiterate that next week, and then we don't reiterate that during the postseason, obviously. What do we need to get a bye? I mean, to get a home field advantage to win next week?
Well, they have a bye, and yeah, to get home field advantage, they need to win, Olivier. And again, thanks for the kind wishes. Happy holidays to all our listeners out there on Patriots.com, by the way, as the Patriots do take care of the Dolphins, 27-24. Patriots win next week. They are the number one seed in the AFC. Simple as that. And they've already locked up a bye week with that win today over the Miami Dolphins. Olivier brings up a good point. And I think this is a scarier big picture trend for the New England Patriots. And when I say big picture, this performance today reminded some, myself included, and I'm just taking this from a tweet from Mike Reese, ESPNBoston.com, earlier in the game, where he sat there at the end of the first quarter, beginning of the second quarter, something along those lines, and Reese tweets out, this feels like the last couple of playoff games for the Patriots offensively. We struggle with the pass rush. Brady isn't comfortable. Offense can't move the ball. And think about those playoff losses. Super Bowl 42 to the Giants, as painful as it is. Ravens in 09, Jets last year. That was the commonality in those three games. Teams that could get after Brady. Brady didn't seem comfortable. That's exactly what we saw early on in this game today. And how the Patriots start. After a Miami opening field goal drive, Patriots go 9 plays, 29 yards, punt. And Jeremiah Bell sacks Tom Brady on third down. Second drive for the Patriots, 3 and out. Jason Taylor with a sack. Logan Mankins leaves with a knee injury. Third drive for the Patriots, 5 plays, 19 yards, punt. Jeremiah Bell with a breakup on third down. That was the first quarter. That's how it went. Patriots then started the second quarter with three and outs, including a Cameron Wake sack, beating Nate Solder. And then the Patriots end the first half. They finally get the ball moving at the end of the first half, and it is 6 plays, 50 yards, missed field goal by Steven Gostkowski. And that's how you go into the first half. So you do see the Patriots and that offensive line struggling early on in that game. Some of it should be expected. Not only do you lose Matt Light in pregame warmups, but you also lose Matt Light's replacement at left tackle, Logan Mankins, who bumps outside, doesn't return after the second series. And the Patriots really did settle down on the offensive line after that point. But you look back and you have to sit there and wonder, okay, is this going to be an issue in a playoff game? You can get away with a 17-0 hole against the Miami Dolphins. You can get away with struggling to protect Brady early on in a game against the Miami Dolphins. Can you do that against a playoff-caliber team? And as much as I hate some of the other teams in the AFC, be it Baltimore or a dinged-up Pittsburgh, you know, or the Jets, if they sneak in, although that looks doubtful at this point. So call it the Bengals, you know. Call it Oakland or Denver. Can you do it against those teams in a playoff game? Can you afford that kind of start in a postseason game? That's at least something that would bother me in this performance. But again, the bigger takeaway, I do think the Patriots are closer to the team in the second half. I know Brady's closer to that quarterback. And I think the Patriots, for the second straight game, showed adjustments. It was after the first quarter in Denver. It was in the second half here against the Miami Dolphins. They limit the Dolphins to 126 yards, forced some turnovers in the second half. I think for the second straight week, they started to turn the game around with their defense. That is a promising sign. 508-298-0398. That's the H Ticket Hotline. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. Let's go to George in Pennsylvania. You're next up here on the Sun Live Patriots postgame show. What's going on, George?
Hey, how's it going, man?
Doing well.
How's the offensive line doing? Like, what's the word on Matt Light?
As of right now, I have nothing, though we will keep you up to date on the offensive line and updates there. But I would assume, on Matt Light, that was more precautionary than anything. And I would think with the Patriots earning
a bye week, we'll see
Matt Light for that first playoff game. I'd be curious on Mankins, who left the game, knee injury. It was announced as questionable in the press box.
He wasn't comfortable with.
Sure. I mean, I think that injury can happen whether he's a left tackle or left guard. I mean, that was kind of getting undercut by an opponent. So certainly the offensive line, and I was asked about this pregame in that chat with B-Lo and Patrick Pass, if the offensive line was a concern. And I said, look, if Light can't go for a game, fine. But if you're talking about losing Light and Mankins, you'd expect to see an offensive line struggle. So I would say going forward,
Ballmer.
No, exactly. And he's been out. I would say going forward, starting with this Buffalo game next Sunday, that's something that we're going to be paying close attention to, the health of that offensive line and whether they can protect Brady, because simple, in the first half, they couldn't, George.
Hey, Brady can protect himself, though. You know what?
You see him ducking for life?
Everybody says, you know what, he's a non-football player. He showed today he's still a football player, even though he's got a bunch of guys, first-round draft picks protecting him. When it comes down to it, he can still play ball.
No, and George,
totally. You have a nice Christmas.
You as well, man. Happy holidays. Thanks for calling us here on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. I thought Brady's response in the second half, I think, was tied to the offensive line shoring things up. Maybe they needed halftime to get in there and get everybody on the same page. Maybe they just needed to settle down. Maybe they needed 15 minutes away. Maybe they needed a good, old-fashioned lashing from the coaching staff. I mean, I don't know. I still tend to think they started moving the ball at the end of the first half in that 2-minute drive. It didn't come up with points because of a missed field goal by Gostkowski. But they came back out, same hurry-up offense, moved it to start the second half, got a field goal, forced a turnover, and then punched it in with a 1-yard touchdown pass to Deion Branch. I think that's where the game turned. I think it was less about motivational speeches and more about, you know, situationally, the Patriots able to capitalize early on in that second half. It is the Sun Life Patriots postgame show here on Patriots.com. Adam Jones live from our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. You can give us a call, Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or email us, webradio@patriots.com. We mentioned Deion Branch and that touchdown. We'll talk to Patriots wide receiver Deion Branch coming up here in just a little bit. You'll also hear from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick from the podium next here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show on Patriots.com.
Dear business traveler high in the sky, it's for important work that you do fly. But on JetBlue, we've made your job more fun with free DirecTV to play when your tasks are done. And with 40-plus nonstop straight from Boston, you won't have layovers to cities like Austin. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Luana, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand by flying JetBlue for business. Book now at JetBlue.com/business. DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Be an MVP this holiday season and give the Patriot fan on your list a gift from the Patriots Pro Shop. The Patriots Pro Shop and PatriotsProShop.com have the widest selection of authentic Patriots merchandise on the planet. Everything from jerseys and sweatshirts to hats, t-shirts, autograph memorabilia, and more. The Patriots Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium is open Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. and Sunday from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. or 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
Droid.
Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
Hey Tom, what's on your holiday wish list?
Joy and happiness to all.
Oh, because I was thinking of giving you packaged coffee from Dunkin' Donuts.
Ooh, that's better.
Nothing beats Dunkin's packaged coffee. Right now, buy 3 pounds and get a fourth free. Only at Dunkin' Donuts restaurants. So give America's favorite coffee as a gift or stock up yourself. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Happy holidays, everyone. Glad you could make it to the house. Who's up for some Dunkin' coffee? Grandma, let's start with you.
Hazelnut, please.
Cousin Mark?
Original blend!
Vanessa?
Your holidays are covered with Dunkin' coffee. Buy it by the pound or try our new Dunkin' K-Cup packs. Only at Dunkin' stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
I love.
Love.
Love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice. And football. And baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Welcome back to the Patriots Postgame Show, live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. Have an opinion on today's game? Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios, here's your host, Adam Jones.
Joined by Patriots wide receiver Deion Branch, live from the Patriots locker room shortly, following the Patriots' 27-24 win over the Miami Dolphins, helps the Patriots lock up a bye in the AFC, and a win next week over the Buffalo Bills, and the Patriots will be the number one seed in the conference, and in all likelihood, the favorite to get to a Super Bowl. It is the Sun Life Patriots post studios inside Gillette Stadium, and give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or email us webradio@patriots.com. Sun Life is among the highest-rated insurance companies in the United States for group life, disability, and dental benefits. Get to know Sun Life at www.sunlife.com. Working through the emails to webradio@patriots.com, Kevin writes in, normally one of the first ones to write in on the Patriots post-game show. Up and down game, guys. My emotions are very worn. Glad to get the win. Here's my good list. Brady, Welker's second-half performance, and Gronk as usual. And I'll throw a new one in there, number 32. Yes, I said it. He had terrible coverage and gave up a few big plays, including a pass interference, costing the Patriots a touchdown. Then he settled in, broke up a few big plays, and had a gift-wrapped pass interference from Matt Moore. Not really a huge game for him, but it's Christmas, and it's nice to be nice. Merry Christmas, guys, from Kevin. And again, happy holidays to all our listeners out there. I did see things differently than Kevin did on Devin McCourty. And maybe if he didn't give up that 41-yard play to Marshall, which set up the Dolphins' touchdown that brought him back within a field goal, I would have felt differently. But I don't know how you can sit there and applaud Devin McCourty for that performance today. Three passing plays of at least 39 yards, plus a pass interference call, plus a dropped interception. I know he had the pick. I know he had another nice breakup. But that was an eye-opening day from Devin McCourty. And look, a lot of the plays, and this is scary, a lot of the plays were from Hartline, not even from Brandon Marshall, who he struggled against in the first game of the season. I at least expect McCourty to have a difficult time with the Brandon Marshalls of the world. Brian Hartline, though, is another story. Let's hit the phones. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. Let's go to Patrick in Brooklyn. You're next up here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones. Hey, Patrick.
Adam Pac-Man, how are you?
Doing well, man. How are you?
Good. I'm going to tell you something. I am a self-proclaimed Bill Belichick disciple.
Okay.
I'm going to call it like I see it.
Beautiful.
This is going to be a very balanced reporting of the season and the problems. Number one, Devin McCourty. Couldn't agree with you more. His big problem is he's lost confidence, and he doesn't really play the ball anymore, so he never knows where the ball is, and he looks completely lost out there at the times you see him. The only reason they can leave him out there is because he has a very good ability to wrap up and do run support. So that's the positive. The negative is that he just looks lost in coverage. Now, Mr. Belichick, I am not a guy who is going to criticize you because you're the best coach out there, but I want to talk about the draft and personnel. What needs to happen, do not trade your picks this year. You need the best safety men you can get in that draft at your slot, and with the second number one draft pick you have, you need the best corner that you can get, and after that, you can look at linemen or linebackers. You've got a decent enough lineman, decent enough linebackers, but the secondary, particularly from the safety position, you see the guy Brown, time and again, he can make a play, but he just never gets there enough time to make it. Same thing sometimes with Chung, and same thing with Hittable. These guys are just what you call fill-ins. These guys cannot make the impact plays you want them to make. I'll listen to your response. Thanks,
sure. Guys. And Patrick, thanks for the phone call. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. First off, I disagree that Chung's just a fill-in guy. I don't know that he's a Pro Bowler, but I do think he's a starter, no doubt about it, in the NFL. And I think the Patriots, in the passing game and also in run support, miss his presence. And I thought today was an opportunity for him to get back on the field. That's another sidebar. You know, looking at this Patriots team, some of the inactives today, I thought we'd see Chung, I thought we'd see Spikes, and we didn't. On his thoughts on drafting in the secondary, I mean, he's totally right. I mean, Patrick hits the nail right on the head. They have missed time and again. We thought McCourty was a hit, and now we see a year two regression out of McCourty. And it's much more pronounced than the year two regression from Darius Butler. But look at some of the misses the Patriots have had in the secondary early on in the draft. Terrence Wheatley, cut by the team, second-round miss. Darius Butler, cut by the team, second-round miss. McCourty, regressing here in year two. Rozai Dowling, first pick of the second round, couldn't make it through the year. So, look, Patrick's totally right. However, that's a whole other category for me, a whole separate category. When you're talking about personnel, there's only so much they can do at this point to fix that this season. Bigger picture, yeah, I'm worried about how the Patriots draft. I'm worried about some of the free agents they brought in. Though, I will tell you, last week it was Chad Ochocinco catching a touchdown. This week it was Sean Ellis getting a sack, and my word, Devin McCourty got an interception in this one. So I will say, some of the guys who we've been, or who have been punching bags throughout the season here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show, have at least popped up the last couple of weeks. But the personnel thing is just a bigger picture storyline. And I don't mean to brush it to the side, but for me, doesn't do any good to talk about it at this point. I mean, certainly it explains why the Patriots defense is struggling like it is, because their personnel is poor. But there's really nothing they can do about that. The question for me is this defense good enough to win at least a game in the playoffs? Let's not get ahead of ourselves with the Super Bowl. Is this defense good enough to win a playoff game? You know, is this team good enough to win a playoff game? They're 0 for their last three. And I think the last two are a lot closer than the Super Bowl 42 loss to the Giants. You know, the Ravens and the Jets, both of them here in Foxborough, both of them to teams that I thought were inferior at that point. So I look at those two games and I say, well, all right, do the Patriots have what it takes to not get knocked out in the divisional round like they did last year to the Jets, or the wild card round the year before that to the Baltimore Ravens? And this is something we've investigated over the course of the week on ESPN Boston Radio, which I do noon to 2, Monday through Friday over on ESPNBoston.com. We really went through and looked at seeding and how important it is, specifically in the AFC, but throughout the NFL. And what we found since 2000 in the AFC, that top seed in the conference is as likely to lose their opening playoff game, the divisional round in this case. They're more likely to lose their first playoff game than they are to advance to a Super Bowl. Since 2000, the number one seed has lost their opening playoff game 5 times. They've advanced to a Super Bowl 4 times. And the only AFC team since 2000 to win a Super Bowl, that was the 2003 Patriots. New England, as the number one seed, has won a Super Bowl, as we just told you, 2003. They also lost in the Super Bowl in 07 and lost their first playoff game last year. So that tells me the first seed secures nothing. It means nothing, big picture. There's no evidence to sit there and say, well, with the one seed, they're likely to advance to the Super Bowl. It's more likely they lose their first game. However, I still tell you, I'd rather see the Patriots playing here in Foxborough. And again, just to look at Reese and some stats he relayed earlier today, Baltimore and Pittsburgh have both been very average teams at home. Excuse me, on the road, and they've been good teams at home. So that's another reason why you'd want those teams coming in here, be it in the divisional round or be it in the AFC championship game. It is the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium here on Patriots.com. You can give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or email us webradio@patriots.com. That's where Nicholas writes in. Hey, Adam and crew, first off, Merry Christmas from Australia. I got up at 5 a.m. to watch this game, and for the first half, I thought I should have stayed in bed. That pass rush was killer, and we really missed Light. Then the second half was much better, but not great, on the defensive side of the ball. And I'll just interject here. I thought they were great in the second half. At least until that last scoring drive from the Dolphins, they had really limited Miami for the entire second half. 126 yards, that's it, in the second half. And a lot of them came on that last drive by the Dolphins. 2 turnovers. Limited Miami to just a touchdown in the second. I thought the defense was great in the second half. And some of that ties into the first half, or excuse me, the offensive success early on in that second half. But I thought the defense is what turned this game around. I thought it's what turned it around in the Broncos game as well. So, yeah, they've given up yards. Yeah, they've been picked apart. But at least they've adjusted over the course of these games. And at least the defense with turnovers has really tilted the playing field in these last couple of games. They did it in Denver last week with those second quarter turnovers. They did it against Miami this week with the second half turnovers. And again, the Patriots take down the Dolphins 27-24 and lock up a bye week in the conference playoffs. Nicholas continues to webradio@patriots.com. And this is in reference to a tweet I had where at halftime the Patriots were trailing 17-0. And I said, oh, looks like Christmas is coming early for the Patriots. Bill Belichick is going to rip them all new buttholes. So this is in response to that tweet where he says, I told you that second half butthole made this team more aerodynamic. Seemed to me that in the second half, Miami just dropped their whole pass rush and major pressure. Anyway, another great win towards the home field advantage in the postseason. Merry Christmas from Nick. You know, did Miami back off on the pass rush or did the Patriots just lock it down in the second half? Because that's more the way I viewed it. I thought the Patriots answered the bell in the second half. You know, and they already were on their heels a bit early on, finding out they're going to lose Light in pregame warmups. And then you slide Mankins out to left tackle. You already have to adjust to that, and then you lose him on the second series. They were out of sorts early on in the game. I thought they did a much better job protecting Brady as the game wore on. I don't think that was Miami changing what they were doing. I think that was the Patriots game planning for what Miami was doing and just getting those guys on the same page and having a halftime to talk to that offensive line. You know, that's the way I viewed it. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us webradio@patriots.com. It is the Sun Life Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones. We are live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Still waiting from Deion Branch, or to hear from Deion Branch, from that victorious Patriots locker room as they take down the Miami Dolphins 27-24, their 12th win of the season. That is the most in the AFC. Just continuing to tick through these emails to webradio@patriots.com. And this is in response to the question I put out there. And again, we want to hear from you on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398. You encouraged or discouraged by this performance from the Patriots? I'll tell you, it says something about this team and the mental toughness that they displayed in the second half. Because they had dug themselves into a hole, and they had done it before on the road in Philly. They had done it before on the road in Denver, where, you know, the Patriots had fallen behind and dug their way out of a hole. And I don't know that we had seen that before in a home game. And they did that today against the Miami Dolphins. So overall, I think the Patriots are closer to the team that we saw in the second half. And that means I was encouraged by that second half performance. But Bob Collins writes in to webradiopatriots.com, I was encouraged by the defense in the second half. And I don't see how you couldn't be. I thought the defense turned that game around with turnovers. You know, again, the Patriots started the second half with the football, had to settle for a field goal, made it 17-3. Certainly that was progress. But the defense turned it around. The defense is what gave them a short field, and maybe some of that was circumstantial. The fumbled exchange between Matt Moore and his center, and Will Fork falls on top of it. I still credit the defense for making a play there. They force a three and out on the next drive. Patriots come down, tie it at 17 apiece, and then McCourty gets a pick. I thought the defense started the second half strong. That's where the game started to turn. What do you think? 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us webradio@patriots.com here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Let's go back to the phones. Mark's in Reno, Nevada, and you're next up here on patriots.com. What's up, Mark?
Hey, how's it going, Adam?
Doing well, man.
Well, I thought it was a good win, and I think the Patriots are going to do fine in the postseason. Because you never know what you're going to get with, like, the Steelers and Ravens, and look who they played today. For some reason, Patriots always find a way to win. I'd like to hear your thoughts on that.
Well, and I think they deserve credit for that, and I understand that that's a bit of a cliche. And, Mark, thanks for the phone call, 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. I understand that's a bit of a cliche to say, oh, well, the Patriots just win. And it's the same cliche that everyone affixes to Tim Tebow. But I do think there's some truth to it when you look around the conference. The Patriots now have won seven games in a row. They've now locked up a bye week. And just look at who some of the other teams in the conference are losing to. Steelers, abysmal showing on Monday Night Football against a good Niners team. But still, just a terrible performance. You know, the Ravens lose to the Chargers on Sunday Night Football, and they've had some head-scratching losses on the season. You know, you look at just Houston this week to the Colts on Thursday night. The Patriots don't have a loss like that. I mean, maybe you can chalk up the Buffalo one early in the year in that same vein, but at least Buffalo is playing well at the time. Their other two losses are to the Giants and the Steelers, who both should be playoff bound. So, at least in the second half of the season, the Patriots have avoided that. And I think they deserve credit for that. You know, now look, they just won games in the second half last year, too, and got to the postseason and got it handed to them by the Jets in the divisional round. So, not to say that that means everything, but I do think that should account for something. And the Patriots, to their credit, as the caller points out, you know, do just continue to win these football games. And it does say something about the mental toughness to be able to dig out of a 17-0 hole, even if it's against at home, even if it's against a 5-win team. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us webradio@patriots.com. It is the Sun Life Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones. We are live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium here on patriots.com. And I want to go to the podium where Patriots head coach Bill Belichick spoke after the Patriots 27-24 victory over the Miami Dolphins here in Foxborough.
It wasn't our best effort of the season, but you know, got to give the players a lot of credit. I come back in the second half, you know, down 17-0, and you know, played a good enough half of football. So, you know, happy to win. You know, we tee it up here again next week against Buffalo, but it's a good way to you know, to go into a little Christmas break here for a couple of days, recharge, come back, and hopefully be ready to finish up strong.
Pittsburgh, and I told you something. The last three games of all seem to exhibit the same thing. You guys had to overcome something. Is this a team that has shown you more than you expected at the beginning of the season in terms of
advantages? Well, we always expect to do that, so.
So it's more, it's not more.
I don't know.
It's less, it's not less.
I have no idea. Anyway, try to go out there and play hard and win every week. That's what we try to do every week. Our goals are high.
Bill, the challenges you were dealing with along the offensive line in terms of available personnel, can you explain what happened before the game with Matt Light?
Yeah, Matt's ankle was, he just wasn't able to push off on it. And so, you know, we're scrambling around there, and then Logan played a few plays, and then he went out, so we, you know, had to take what was left.
Eastern time. You see him talking about evaluating.
Kind of there, why'd you still think the best decision?
Because of the game plan, everything we were doing, felt like it was the best thing to do. But then that didn't last long. It knocked us out of some other personnel groupings. And, you know, we got down to the end of the game. We didn't have our goal line group and things like that. So we had to try to run the ball. And we're down there on the goal line with, you know, multiple receivers in the game, things like that. But we just, you know, we just didn't have our big people groupings.
It seemed like you settled down a little bit with the protection early. You had all those different guys out there. Was there anything you did differently, or did you just kind of get them on the same page?
No, I don't think there was a lot we did differently. I think maybe did a little bit better, but they, you know, they mixed it up like they always do. We just didn't do a lot of things very well. We didn't really do anything very well. I mean, we didn't throw, we didn't catch, we couldn't get open, we couldn't block, couldn't tackle, couldn't cover, couldn't rush. Couldn't return kicks, couldn't cover them, so pick a winner. We used it in the first half. Yeah, well, I mean, it's, you know, they made a mistake, ball bounced right to us, and we recovered it, so, I mean, that was great.
Did you see Gostkowski's tackle on that kickoff?
Oh, I mean, it's saw from across the way. I mean, if someone tripped him up, I didn't really get a good look at it, no.
What kind of sense you had for how big of a play that was, given what happened, what the deficit would have been?
He was, you know, looks like he was running pretty fast going through there, but I didn't get a real good look at it.
Coach, what do you say at the half? Nothing's going right. Turn the page, start up one play at a time. What do you say?
Yeah, well, it was all, we need to do everything better. I mean, there wasn't really one thing we were doing that was, I'd say, overall good enough. Just got to do a better job of coaching, playing. I mean, like I said, I just gave you a list of everything. You know, we just didn't do a good job in any phase of the game, in any area. And we just, I know we're capable of more than that, and I think the players showed that. You know, they responded, and I wasn't perfect in the second half, and we got a couple breaks, but, you know, we made a few plays on our own, so that's good. And, you know, we're able to come out on top, but yeah, we dug ourselves a big hole there.
Coach, the television replay showed it looked like Tom was injured in his nose. Did you notice that? Is there something wrong with him? Did he get injured in the game or before?
No, I mean, his nose.
Yeah, he had a cut in his nose.
Look, we just walked off the field. I mean, everybody finished the game. They finished it. We'll see. I wouldn't be too worried about his nose. You know, I think Steven's run well for us all year. You know, he had a couple strong runs today. You know, ran through a couple tackles. You know, there's still a lot of things he could do better, but he made some plays, and there are other plays that could have been better. But, you know, he runs hard with the ball.
Are you okay?
His nose. I love it. I don't know who that was. Hey, coach, by the way, is Brady okay? It looked like his nose.
It sounded like Shalice.
Was that it? No. It was not Shalice.
No, was it?
No, definitely wasn't. Wasn't. I would venture to guess that was a national media member flown in to cover this game. That is not a voice that sounds familiar to me. And I don't think they're used to covering the team in New England, the way that question was asked. Hey, coach, is everything okay with Brady? Looked like his nose on the replay. Yeah, Belichick's not going to answer that one. So I found that amusing. Also, and I had forgotten to mention this until this point, a turning point in the game. After the Patriots drive down and get a field goal on their first drive of the second half, the ensuing kickoff, Steven Gostkowski does a great job tripping up the Dolphins kick returner, Clyde Gates. You know, so instead of the game being 24-3, Gostkowski trips him up, and a couple of plays later, you have that fumbled exchange between Matt Moore and Vince Wilfork that I've referenced here a bunch of times. And that was a turning point in the game, not just the Patriots falling on top of that fumble, but also Gostkowski with the trip up on a kick returner who had a lane. And he could have taken that thing to the house if it wasn't for Gostkowski. So that was a turning point in the game. And you heard Belichick address that as well as some issues on the offensive line. And not that he was going to give up any, you know, nuclear secrets on the offensive line and how they shuffled things around. But, you know, for me, you look at the way the Patriots adjusted in the second half, or at least controlled that Dolphins pass rush in the second half. I think it spoke for itself. I just think they were blindsided by light pregame, and they shifted Mankins outside. Then they were blindsided by losing Mankins on the second series, I should say. And, you know, that turned things around. That's difficult to adjust. The Patriots went from Donald Thomas starting at left guard to all of a sudden flopping Solder from right side to left side and asking an awful lot out of a rookie, and then plugging in Cannon at right tackle and Donald Thomas at left guard. You know, that's your offensive line. They fiddled around with taking Connolly out and sticking Wendell in at center, and then Connolly went back in the game. There was a lot of shuffling on the offensive line throughout the game, and ultimately they got it figured out. That's credit to the coaching staff at halftime. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. Let's go back out to the Ace Ticket Hotline. We'll be joined by Dwayne in Washington. You're next up here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Hey, Dwayne.
Hey, what's going on?
Not much, man. How are you?
I'm doing good. I was feeling sick earlier, and I woke up when I saw the score, 17, donut. And I laid down, woke up, and I threw up. And I was like, wow, the Patriots is up by three.
You thought you were hallucinating or something.
I thought I was hallucinating. but my comment is that between the last year and this year, for me, is that I think all the rookies last year, they felt as though they was going to skate through the playoffs. And when they got smacked in the mouth by the Jets, it was like, what do we do? This year, I think our team is facing adversity, you know, and everyone wants us to fail. And I think the team, although they give up a lot of yards, they're giving up points, they're giving up rushing yards, the mental toughness, like you said earlier in the pregame show, has overcome a lot of the deficits, which probably will probably be a 6-17 right now if we didn't have that mental toughness. So I just credit that to the players overcoming being a finesse team and now being a grinded out battle team than they were from 08 through 2010. I think they're more battle tested now. It doesn't mean they're going to win in the playoffs, but I'm hoping they will, because I want to see this team finally get another Lombardi trophy.
Dwayne, I appreciate the phone call, and it's 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. Good balance phone call from a sick, under the weather Dwayne. Hope you feel better. But when you look at the Patriots, I do think one reason to feel good about this team is it does appear to be mentally tougher than last season, right? Fall behind early in Philly, bounce back, blowout win. Fall behind early in Denver, bounce back, blowout win. Fall behind 17-0 at halftime and come back and win. And a tweet was just relayed to me from Matt LePan. This is via Mary Paletti of CSNNE. McCourty at halftime, or speaking of the halftime message from the coaching staff, said it was clear. Just keep fighting. We've got 30 minutes to go out, and we've got to keep playing. And I do think you see some of that belief in the Patriots where, okay, we've fallen into a hole before in Philadelphia on the road. We've fallen into a hole before in Denver on the road. We can do this. And I do think that's important. I do not want to see the Patriots fall behind 10-0 or 17-0 to a team like the Ravens or the Steelers. In fact, we've seen what happens when they fall behind early to the Steelers. But, you know, for me, I do think there's that element of mental toughness in this team that wasn't necessarily there last year. At least going into the playoffs, we didn't know if it was there or not. And it was fair to question their mental toughness last year. I don't think it'd be fair to blame that aspect of the team. You know, and whether that starts with the coaching staff, whether that starts with more accountability in the locker room, given the way they've come up in the playoffs short the last couple of seasons, I don't know. But I do think there's something to be said for that. You did just hear from Bill Belichick at the podium. You will still hear from Tom Brady coming up in just a little bit. And it is the Sun Life Patriots postgame show here on Patriots.com. But we will not be getting you Patriots wide receiver Deion Branch from the victorious Patriots locker room, 27-24, over the Miami Dolphins. Apparently he had a little too much going on his postgame plate. Huh, Kevin?
Yeah, the word I got is he had to get to his family, so apparently he had a lot of family.
A little too much going on. And look, understandable. It's the holidays. It is the Sun Life Patriots postgame show here on Patriots.com. Adam Jones, live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. So our apologies, no Deion Branch here on the Patriots postgame show, as the Patriots do take down the Miami Dolphins 27-24 here in Foxborough and lock up that bye week, which obviously is a key. You know, looking ahead to the postseason, I got to tell you, another bit of good news for the Patriots, by the way, is the Jets falling to the Giants. Not that the Patriots haven't taken care of the Jets this year, because they have in both of those meetings with New York, and especially the second one in New York, they handed it to them. And they showed that those teams aren't as close as they have been the past couple of seasons, where maybe even the advantage was skewed in the Jets' direction, or skewed in the Jets' direction, I should say. I still would not want to see New York in the postseason if I were the Patriots. Coming in here in the divisional round, that's a team I'd like to avoid. And it looks like the Patriots should be able to do that. Cincinnati finishes up next week with Baltimore. The Jets finish up next week with this Miami team. So we'll see. We'll see if the Jets sneak in. But certainly that loss today for them was a bit of good news. And again, it underscores how wide open the AFC is. And one thing the Patriots are doing that other teams in the conference aren't is they keep winning these games. It was not pretty today. And I understand that's a cliche. But it wasn't pretty today. But they do come out with the win. And they do show some true mental toughness in this victory. Who knows if it means anything come playoff time. But over the last month or so, we've seen every other team in this conference slip up. And the Patriots haven't fallen into that trap. They've won 7 in a row. And again, we'll have wild card weekend off. So the earliest they'll be playing in January will be that weekend of the 14th and 15th in the divisional round. We'll see if it's as the top seed or the number 2 seed. If they can take care of Buffalo, they will be the number 1 seed in the AFC. Patriots do get that victory over the Miami Dolphins, 27-24 here in Foxborough. You will hear from Patriots quarterback Tom Brady following the win, coming up next on the Patriots postgame show presented by Sun Life here on Patriots.com.
Dear business traveler, high in the sky, it's for important work that you do fly. But on JetBlue, we've made your job more fun with free DirecTV to play when your tasks are done. And with 40-plus nonstop straight from Boston, you won't have layovers to cities like Austin. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Luana, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand by flying JetBlue for business. Book now at JetBlue.com/business. DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Be an MVP this holiday season and give the Patriot fan on your list a gift from the Patriots Pro Shop. The Patriots Pro Shop and PatriotsProShop.com have the widest selection of authentic Patriots merchandise on the planet. Everything from jerseys and sweatshirts to hats, t-shirts, autograph memorabilia, and more. The Patriots Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium is open Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. and Sunday from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. or 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
Hey, Tom, what's on your holiday wish list?
Joy and happiness to all.
Oh, because I was thinking of giving you packaged coffee from Dunkin' Donuts.
Ooh, that's better.
Nothing beats Dunkin's packaged coffee. Right now, buy 3 pounds and get a fourth free. Only at Dunkin' Donuts restaurants. So give America's favorite coffee as a gift or stock up yourself. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Happy holidays, everyone! Glad you could make it to the house! Who's up for some Dunkin' coffee? Yeah. Grandma, let's start with you!
Hazelnut, please!
Cousin Mark?
Original blend!
Vanessa?
Your holidays are covered with Dunkin' coffee. Buy it by the pound or try our new Dunkin' K-Cup packs. Only at Dunkin' stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football.
and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards Credit Card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place, shop, dine, enjoy.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're gonna miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
What do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature, isn't it?
Right? Yeah.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Welcome back to the Patriots postgame show, live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Have an opinion on today's game? Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios, here's your host, Adam Jones.
A little bit of news coming down the way here on the Patriots postgame show, presented by Sun Life here on Patriots.com. Adam Jones live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. No MRI on Logan Mankins until Monday, seems like the consensus. So it doesn't look like we're going to have any update on Logan, though Matt LePan, our behind-the-scenes guy here on the Patriots postgame show, did say he saw him walking through the locker room. Didn't seem like much of a noticeable limp. But Mankins didn't return after the second series in that football game. What does that mean for the Patriots offensive line going forward? Now that you've seen Matt Light scratched in pregame warmups and Mankins leaving that game early, you know, is this precautionary measures from the Patriots taking a bigger picture look at their offensive line, or are they that dinged up on the line? And remember, they've already lost Copen for the season. Vollmer, Lord knows when he's going to get back in the lineup. And if Light and Mankins are in any type of rough shape, and my gut instinct on this is that weekend of the 14th and 15th when the Patriots play their first playoff game after they locked up a bye week with that 27-24 win over the Dolphins earlier today. You know, 3 weeks from now, my gut instinct is those guys will be out there. But, you know, if they're dealing with these long-term injuries against the pass rush like the Ravens or the Steelers or the Jets if they get in there, or even the Texans, should the Texans get that far, you know, if you're dealing with that type of pass rush and the offensive line is dinged up, how big of an issue is that for the Patriots? How big of an issue is the offensive line for you today, especially in that first half? 508-298-0398. That's your Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. And again, the newsy bit coming out of the locker room is that no MRI on Logan Mankins until Monday. It is the Patriots postgame show presented by Sun Life. Sun Life is among the highest-rated insurance companies in the United States for group life, disability, and dental benefits. Get to know Sun Life at www.sunlife.com. Patriots do take down the Dolphins 27-24, and they do lock up the bye week, which I think is important for the Patriots going forward. You know, I think it's less important than the one seed. In other words, what are your goals when you start every postseason? Or excuse me, when you start every season, yeah, your first goal is to win the division. Get into the postseason, in other words. You know, I would assume a bye week is somewhere on there. You know, maybe that's not a, you know, maybe that's not really hammered home by the coaching staff in the preseason. Like, hey, we want to make sure we get a bye week. But once you lock up the division, bye week should be the next goal. Get to the Super Bowl and then win it. I mean, that's sort of how you're looking at it. And I know it's win the division, win the conference, win the Super Bowl. That's sort of how goals are. But in between, you want to get that bye week. I spoke with Teddy Bruschi earlier in the week over on ESPN Boston Radio, Monday through Friday, noon to 2 on ESPNBoston.com. And he told us, look, guys, it's not about the number one seed versus the number three seed or the number one seed versus the number two seed or whatever. It's the bye week versus not the bye week. You know, that's what's important. And the Patriots now have that bye week locked up. And again, if they take care of the Bills on Sunday or a week from Sunday, I guess, they will have that top seed in the AFC locked up as we see the Patriots approaching not only the number one seed in the conference, but true favorite status in the conference. And I got to tell you, what, 3 weeks ago, really before that Redskins game, I was resisting buying in on this team. And maybe I was the last one on the bandwagon or late to the party or whatever you want to say. But I was resisting it for a long period of time. And now we're looking at that Patriots team as the preeminent favorite in the conference. They should be. You know, given the way the rest of the conference looks right now, the quarterback issues, starting with Manning in the preseason, through Schaub being done for the season, through Roethlisberger being dinged up, we should look at the Patriots not only as the top seed, but as the true favorite in the AFC. 508-298-0398, that's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us, webradio at patriots.com, here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones live from our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. We hear from Patriots quarterback shortly. Here on the Patriots postgame show, Brady with a real night and day performance. Awful in the first half, phenomenal in the second half. You hear from him shortly following the Patriots' 27-24 win over the Dolphins. But let's hit the phones. Melvin is in Tennessee, and you're next up here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. What's going on, Melvin?
Hey, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Doing excellent, man. How are you?
I'm great. I just got a real quick comment about, of course, everybody talks a lot about our defense, but I wanted to see, really, is it really our defense or is it the defensive coordinator? I see a lot of previous defense going on, and, you know, I don't think that not a lot of blitzing, you know, and whenever we go man-on-man, I think we do a whole lot, you know, better as far as the game goes on. I know that when we had to step up big against the Jets, we did good. It's just that maybe when we play the Steelers, I thought we did a lot of previous defenses. I don't know what type of previous defense is going to cover 5-wide receivers. I have no idea. But I just wanted to see, when is it time to stop arguing so much about defense and start looking at the defensive plays?
Melvin, let me ask you, with the personnel they have on defense, what do you really want Patricia or Belichick, whoever you believe is calling the plays on defense? I mean, what do you want him to do other than that two-deep safety look when your safeties are ahead of Bo and, you know, Sterling Moore, Sergio Brown, Nathan Jones, Matt Slater? When those guys are your safeties, I don't know how exotic you can get, which is a long way of me saying, I think when you see Patrick Chung back there in the secondary, not that all of a sudden the defense is going to come together, but I do think you'll see a little bit more of an exotic play calling from the Patriots and more of a willingness to blitz or at least mix up or change course from just that two deep safety. They're just so locked in with their personnel. I don't know how much you really can scheme it up right now, Melvin.
Okay, well, like I said, I understand. I know I saw him doing all the blitz earlier today, and I know I saw Marshall get behind McCourty, but I actually supported that play. I think it makes them kind of predictable when they get in these zone coverages so much. I feel like they do zone so much, and, you know, it just makes them kind of predictable because at least a lot of 5 and 10 yard plays in there, and, you know, I think I'm more credited towards it's still though mixing it up just a little bit and not just let them just drop back every down. I'm just not a fan of it.
No, and Melvin, and thanks for the phone call, 508-298-0398. I don't know any Patriots fans that are fans of the yards being given up by that Patriots secondary. It does speak to Belichick and Patricia, if you want to lump him in as well, though I view it more as Belichick. It does speak to their willingness to allow those 15, 20-yard outplays, keep it in front of them, although there were some plays over the top of the Patriots defense. We haven't seen a lot of those recently. We saw them early on in the season. Remember, the opener in Miami. You know, week two against the Chargers here in Foxborough. Week three against Oakland. Week four against Buffalo, and that's really when they scrapped it. But we haven't seen a ton of those over-the-top big plays. We saw a lot of them today. We haven't seen a ton of those over the last couple of weeks from the Patriots, the last half a season from the Patriots, we haven't seen a ton of that. But today, we saw a little bit more of it. By and large, I think the coaching staff is willing to give up those shorter pass plays. They're willing to give up chunks of yards. You know, what they want to do is buckle down in the red zone. Patriots, by and large, have been good on the ground. They've buckled down in the red zone. I will tell you, though, the last 3 weeks, that's a commonality. And that now is a trend that is a bit alarming. 70 yards, to the Redskins. And Helu had a nice individual performance in that game. Over 200 yards to the Broncos last week. Tebow, Ball, McGahey, whomever, all ran well in that game. And then today, you have Reggie Bush over 100 yards in the Dolphins with 115 on the ground. Are the Patriots, you know the Patriots are going to give up yards through the air, in other words. Can they get away with starting to get gouged on the ground? And gouge maybe is too strong of a word for today, but over the last 3 weeks, that's what's been going on in that Patriots defense. They've been giving up chunks of yards on the ground. Is the defense good enough to get away with that? 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. Let's go to Chris in Virginia. You're next up on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. Hey, Chris.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well.
Yeah, I was just wondering about the defense. It's very questionable. I mean, especially McCourty getting burnt a lot. You know what I mean? Him starting there. I mean, I think he's had a bad sophomore season. And do you think we can go far in the playoffs with our defense?
Well, look, I mean, that's the million-dollar question, right, Chris? And thanks for the phone call. 508-298-0398. I would tell you, I honestly don't think there's much of a difference. Now that Andre Carter's hurt, I don't think there's much of a difference between this year's Patriots defense and last year's. I mean, certainly statistically they're worse this year, but it's a lot of the same personnel. When Carter was healthy, I felt better about the pass rush. It was non-existent today. That's another underlying red flag about this Patriots defense. But look, they're 32nd in the NFL in yards against. Really, how good was that pass rush in the first place? But I will tell you, I thought that was a difference from last year to this year, the pass rush. Part of it was Carter, some of it was Anderson and sub-packages. Not enough of the pass rush today for the Patriots. But overall, I think the personnel is relatively the same from last year. I do think what's changed from the Patriots last year to this year is not necessarily with New England themselves, but what's changed around the conference. There's no Peyton Manning. You know, Roethlisberger's dinged up. You know, Schaub and the Texans, who look like a real team, you know, they no longer look that way. Now that T.J. Yates has taken over and now that the Texans lost on Thursday night to the Colts. I still don't trust the Ravens. Aging defense. Flacco's too inconsistent for me. Whoever gets in out of the AFC West, you've beaten them. Whether it's the Raiders or the Broncos, you've beaten both on the road. And I don't think the Jets are as good this year, plain and simple. So, you know, for me, I think if the Patriots have quote-unquote improved, you know, it's because the rest of the conference has gotten worse and regressed, in other words. I didn't mean to cut Chris off. Chris, you can pick it up there. What were you saying?
Oh, yeah, I'm back. Like I was saying, it was just about the I was just talking about McCourty getting burned a lot. Secondary question, you know, how far we can go deep. And like I just heard you talking about the Ravens. That's one team I am worried about in the playoffs that we could play, and especially if Ben gets healthy in the playoffs also. I'm also worried about the Steelers.
Well, Chris, that's the one for me. And thanks for the phone call, 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. If Roethlisberger's healthy, they're the favorites in the AFC. But right now, how can you say he's even going to get healthy? Did you see him on Monday night against the Niners? Did you watch that game? Couldn't move, looked uncomfortable, couldn't throw on the run like he typically does, wasn't mobile. All those things that Roethlisberger loves to do, all those things that he gave you problems with in early October in Pittsburgh in that 39-26 win, you didn't see any of that on Monday night. So until he gets healthy, I'm not buying into the Steelers. I will not buy into the Ravens regardless. They're going to have to beat the Patriots again in the postseason before I buy into them. And we've told you, all those other teams in the AFC. So it's a long way of me saying I don't believe that a team dead last in the NFL can go deep in the postseason. You know, most years I won't believe that. But this year in the AFC, maybe. Just when you look around, there are so many teams with gaping holes in one area of their game or another. The Patriots are among those teams. And they just keep on looking better and better because they're not losing games. They're not slipping up like every other team in the conference has. It is the Sun Life Patriots postgame show here on Patriots.com. Adam Jones, live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. We'll take your phone calls, 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. We mentioned Patriots took care of the Dolphins 27-24. They lock up a first-round bye and have the inside track to the top seed in the AFC. Tom Brady, with a Jekyll and Hyde performance, awful in the first half but strong in the second half, spoke with the media following the Patriots' three-point win over Miami.
We just had a hard time getting going. So, you know, we obviously didn't play very well in the first half. And I think we made a pretty big commitment at halftime to each other to go out and everyone do their job and quit worrying about everybody else and go out and play better. And we did that.
Todd, how tough were the adjustments with the offensive line? I mean, it's unbelievable how many guys have gone down there.
Yeah, I think that was, you know, to lose Matt, you know, an hour and a half before the game, and then to lose Logan, you know, the first or second series of the game, a lot of guys really stepped in and played hard. You know, we played for 60
great
minutes, and that's what
right
it took today.
But the Dolphins
over the course of the season, what does it say about that group that they've been able to, you know, keep you upright most of the year?
Well, they're tough. They're very well coached. You know, they're they have a lot of pride. I think they work extremely hard. So anytime you have those qualities as players and as a group, you learn to fight through adversity, and they've done that all year. Hopefully we get some guys back next week. You know, you don't want to certainly make a habit of this, but, you know, we did it, and we overcame it against a team that was playing very well. I mean, they won 5 of their last 7. You could see why, obviously. But, you know, we showed some resiliency, some mental toughness again, and, you know, we pulled out a tough game.
How energizing was the fumble recovery at that point, the way the game was going? 17-3.
Huge. And we didn't turn it over today. I thought that was important. We got turnovers, and you know, we've really, the last 7 games, it's been a huge key for us. I mean, it's hard to win games when you turn it over, and we're the benefactor of some good plays by our defense that we thought, you know, offense capitalized when we got those plays, when we got short fields, and, you know, we did a good job getting the ball in the end zone.
John, in the scheme of things, even though Steven missed a field goal right at the end of the half, how important was it, just in the sense of getting something going at the end of the half, to be able to move from the 17 out to the, you know, into their territory, just to get a feel of something going and changing going into halftime?
Yeah, I thought, well, we executed better there, and I thought we felt like if we could execute better that we can get the ball in the end zone. And we got a lot of playmakers on offense. I think it just took us a little bit to get settled into the game. Once we did that, you know, we made some plays. It was a good job by the whole group. Last question, I got to go home.
Do you think that the no-huddle helped kickstart the offense a little bit today?
Well, it's been a good weapon for us. You know, I think we used it down there. We use it, seems like, every game. I don't think we go into every game thinking, you know, this is what we're going to do. But, you know, if it works, we stick with it. We tried it early. I mean, we tried it in the first half. It didn't work very well. But based on our personnel, we thought, you know, maybe we should just stick with it. And we certainly execute a lot better. So, Merry Christmas. Enjoy the night. Make sure Santa Claus comes. Be good boys.
Tom Brady, not in the same school as Zoltán Mesko, right? Referencing Santa Claus there as Tom Brady speaking after the Patriots win. And I do think Brady and the offense turned it around in the second half, though. It was from a major aid from their defense, I should say. Brady, 7 of 19 in the first half, 87 yards. Patriots are down 17-0. Second half, 20-27, 217, 3 touchdowns, though 2 came on the ground. But he found Branch in the end zone on 3rd and goal. Which at the time brought the Patriots back within 7. And Brady also found Welker for that 7-yard play on 3rd and 6 or whatever it was to ice the game. I thought he was excellent in the second half for the Patriots as they do take care of the Dolphins 27-24. More importantly, wrap up that first round bye in the AFC. And the Patriots have the inside track now to be the number 1 seed in the conference and the favorite in the AFC. It is the Sun Life Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones here on Patriots.com. We are live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. You can give us a call, Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or email us webradio@patriots.com. That's where Tim writes in. Adam, I was discouraged by the Patriots' start. They were slow and confused on offense and soft as usual on defense. I'm encouraged, however, by the second-half comeback effort. Brady was on target with his receivers, and the defense was flying all over the field. The fact that the Patriots can mount such a comeback and make key adjustments is important heading into the postseason. Like I said, this game has its highs and its lows, but a win is a win, and the bye is important for their health. Keep up the good work, and go Pats. And again, that's from Tim writing into webradio@patriots.com. I sort of saw it the same way he did. It's like, look, they made adjustments in the second half. The defense was awful in the first half, but they turned it around. It's not perfect. I don't know that we're going to get a perfect performance from the defense. They're going to give up yards. They're going to give them up through the air. And apparently, if the last 3 weeks are any indication, they're going to give them up on the ground as well. I think we know that about the Patriots' defense. So the question is, situationally, can they get stops? Or can they make adjustments, like after the first quarter against Denver last week? Or, in this case, in the second half? And I do think you saw that symbiotic relationship between the offense and the defense, or at least the two working in unison in the second half. And I've referenced this before, but I think it's important. Patriots started moving the ball at the end of the first half in their two-minute offense. Missed field goal by Gostkowski, but they get the ball to start the second half. What do they do? 11 plays, 54 yards, 45-yard field goal by Gostkowski. And they converted on a fourth down earlier on that drive, a three-yard sneak by Brady to really get into field goal range. The defense comes out on the next drive, and I guess you can call it a fumble or forced a fumble, although that really isn't accurate. You know, Matt Moore fumbles the exchange from his center, and Vince Wilfork falls on top of it. Patriots then go 38 yards, get a one-yard touchdown pass from Brady to Branch on third and goal, which we just referenced a few moments ago. Brady, buying time, finds Branch in the back of the end zone, plays reviewed, but the Patriots pull back within a score. Then the defense gets a three and out, and there were two different sacks on that drive, one from Dederick, where he dragged down Moore, and then Ninkovich just flew in and knocked Moore off his feet. So the Dolphins have to punt on a three and out. And the Patriots go 7 yards, 7 plays, 41 yards. Brady punches it in from a yard out on first and goal to make it 17 apiece. Patriots then get an interception from Devin McCourty, you know, down deep in Miami territory, intended for Brian Hartline. Terrible pass, way underthrown by Matt Moore. And the Patriots answer right back with a 74-yard drive and a 41-yard field goal by Gostkowski. You know, and the Patriots also scored on the drive after that, 1 yard touchdown from Brady to make it 27-17. So the Patriots, their first 5 drives of the second half, they score on each and every one. And the defense forces a couple of turnovers, forces a couple of punts, and all of a sudden, that's how you turn around a 17-0 game. So I thought the fact that you saw those two units working in unison, I just think it's so promising in the second half. And that's the second straight week. And you're looking for small victories here. At least I am. It's the second straight week where, to me, the defense turned it by forcing turnovers. They did it in Denver in the second quarter with those three forced turnovers. They did it in the second half, or really the third quarter, this week against Miami. You keep doing that, it's a trend. You know, and that's something that the Patriots defense did all year last season. They just couldn't do it in the postseason. But they did force a ton of turnovers last year. You hope that in the big games, the Patriots defense can continue to get big turnovers. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. That's where Nick writes in. Adam, I was thinking, with the way the Patriots defensive line was playing, will Andre Carter be sorely missed? Just your thoughts on that. In the pass rush department, yeah. You know, in the pass rush department, I think it's pretty clear. And I downplayed that a bit over the course of the week because, you're the worst defense with or without Andre Carter. You know, it ain't getting any better without him, and you were bad with him. But I think it was pretty obvious that the pass rush struggled today for the New England Patriots. They tacked on a couple of sacks late. You know, Jerod Mayo had that big one at the end of the game. But Patriots with 5 sacks in this one, and I would say it's misleading. You know, Sean Ellis had one early on in the game. We told you the Dederick and Ninkovich ones I thought were pretty big in the second half, and then Mayo had the big one late. But, you know, for me, I thought the pass rush was sorely lacking through large stretches of that game. And it certainly goes back to Andre Carter. 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. That's a long way of me saying I think you're going to miss him in a postseason game. I think that pass rush is going to be missed in a postseason game. We'll see, and I hope I'm wrong. But I think my initial diagnosis of that Patriots defense that they'll be able to get by without Carter, I'm more worried about that than I was coming into the week now that we've seen the Patriots play. It is the Patriots post-game show presented by Sun Life here on Patriots.com. Adam Jones live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. You can give us a call. He's ticket hotline, 508-298-0398, or send your emails to webradio@patriots.com. You've already heard from Patriots quarterback Tom Brady following the club's 27-24 victory over the Miami Dolphins. And the second half, Brady was on our good list. So is the next person you'll hear from, Wes Welker, with a monster game in this one. 12 catches, 138 yards. And Wes Welker met with the media following the Patriots' 3-point win over the Dolphins.
Well, you know, most of it was, you know, that was pretty poor first half on, you know, myself. It was pretty bad. You know, I just, you know, want to let them know that was, you know, that was bull on my part, and that, you know, the second half, when you come out and play the way we need to play to win the game, and that's what we're able to do, and able to make some plays, and everybody chipped in, and that's what it's all about, and that's how you win games. And it takes a full effort from the whole team, and nobody really, kind of holding us all back. And I feel like in the first half, I really did that.
The offensive line fixed things you've seen in the second half, which made things better. What was the huddle like as new guys were coming in and out? Was there any sense of calm or desperation when was coming in?
We don't really worry about that. We just try to, play together the way we need to, and whoever's in there, we expect them to do their job to the best of their ability, and that's the way it turned out. And we kind of had some problems there in the first half, but we were able to kind of get a lot of corrections going, and guys playing well and playing tough and resilient and everything else, and we're able to win.
Wes, being down the last 2 weeks facing the adversity that you have faced and able to overcome it and have victories both times, how does this enter into, if it does, the growth of the team in terms of toughening it up for a playoff run?
Well, there's always things that are going to go wrong in a football game, and things aren't going to work out the way you want it to all the time. And the main thing is just playing the full 60 minutes and never giving in, and understanding that, one drive and one score just to get things going and break the ice. And from there, get defensive stop and score again. That's what we were able to do. And in the end, it was enough.
First down. Good leverage.
You know, how to get you guys back in a rhythm or get you into a rhythm in the second half?
The no huddle always is a good change up for us, and whenever we're having issues or anything else, we kind of go to it, and we're able to kind of keep them off balance and make some plays and get everybody involved. So it's definitely a good aspect that we bring to the table.
Don't you love that from Welker? Guys, I just wanted to apologize to my teammates for that first half. The guy just had 12 catches for 138 yards, and he starts off his post-game press conference with, "Yeah, that first half was on me." And the best I can get from that, and I wonder if that's the coaching, like, did the coaching staff get into Welker at halftime, or is that just him being, I just wonder where that came from. And it's total speculation on my part. I just wonder where that came from. Because there were some mix-ups between Brady and Welker in that first half. Remember the breakup from Jeremiah Bell, Patriots' third drive? And I remember watching the replay at first and going, there's no way Bell broke it up, but you watch the replay, and he did. He got an arm over the shoulder of Welker and batted the ball away, and I thought that was a good play by Bell, so I wouldn't put that play on Welker. Maybe he could have used his body a bit more, but I wouldn't put that play on Welker. There was a breakup by Smith as well, Sean Smith, over on the sideline on third down, where they couldn't come up with a completion. And then the other note that I have for Welker in the first half is Brady just outright misses him on third down. So, I don't know. I thought Brady and Welker weren't on the same page. And I think we've seen that bubble up a bit more over the last month, especially in the red zone. But in the first half today, I didn't think they were on the same page. I don't know why Welker put that entirely on him. And you wonder if that was the coaching. Like, did that message get to him at halftime? That he felt the need to address that publicly? And, I wonder if it's, hey, there's been all this talk this week of, does Welker deserve an extension? And all of this stuff, right? In light of Mayo getting an extension. And you wonder if the coaching staff pulled him aside and said, hey, Welker, you want an extension with a first half like that? So again, total speculation on my part, but where does that come from? Because Brady was not like that at all. I didn't hear any first half apologies from Brady, mixing it up with Welker in that first half. I didn't hear any of that. So I just wonder where that came from. And given the game that he had, that seemed a little out of place for me. And look, I still think Welker deserves an extension. I don't think there's any question about that. Would you pay Wes Welker at the top of the league? Does he deserve that Randy Moss-type extension? Does he deserve the $8, $9, $10 million that the best receivers in the NFL get? He's the leading receiver in the NFL. So statistics would lead you to believe that he does deserve it. On the other hand, small frame, on the wrong side of 30, still just over a year removed from major reconstructive knee surgery. But I wonder if that was the backdrop at all for that apology from Welker. Guys, and this is what he said, this is word for word, I put the first half on myself, I was pretty bad. I wanted to let my teammates know that was poor on my part. Where did that come from? Because my recollection, and when I heard that quote, I just went back and looked through my notes. My recollection wasn't that Welker was that poor in the first half. The Brady-Welker connection, they weren't on the same page, but I don't think that was all Welker, at least not through going back through my notes. Here's the first half for Welker. 16-yard catch on 3rd and 5. The breakup by Jeremiah Bell, which, again, I thought was a good play by the defender. The Smith breakup, which, again, good play by the defender. Those were both 3rd downs. And then Brady missed Welker on 3rd down. Brady was firing balls into his receiver's feet all first half. You know, I don't remember a ton of awful Welker in that first half. And then he also had a 4-yard catch on 3rd and 1. So 2 3rd down conversions for Welker in the first half, 2 pass breakups by the defense, and then a ball fired into his feet. And yet it's Welker coming out and apologizing to his teammates, apologizing to the fans, and putting the first half on himself. He was pretty bad. That's the quote from Welker. I can't imagine that that's not related to some of the coverage of Wes Welker. Does he deserve a contract extension this week? That's just me reading the tea leaves there. But that seems to be where that math goes to. It is the Sunlight Patriots postgame show here on Patriots.com. Adam Jones live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Still about 15 minutes left on the postgame show. We'll take your calls on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. We'll go around the AFC East next on the Sunlight Patriots postgame show here on Patriots.com.
Dear business traveler, high in the sky, it's for important work that you do fly. But on JetBlue, we've made your job more fun with free DirecTV to play when your tasks are done. And with 40-plus nonstop straight from Boston, you won't have layovers to cities like Austin. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Luana, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand by flying JetBlue for business. Book now at JetBlue.com/business. DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Be an MVP this holiday season and give the Patriot fan on your list a gift from the Patriots Pro Shop. The Patriots Pro Shop and PatriotsProShop.com have the widest selection of authentic Patriots merchandise on the planet. Everything from jerseys and sweatshirts to hats, t-shirts, autographed memorabilia, and more. The Patriots Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium is open Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. and Sunday from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. or 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
Hey, Tom, what's on your holiday wish list?
Joy and happiness to all.
Oh, because I was thinking of giving you packaged coffee from Dunkin' Donuts.
Ooh, that's better.
Nothing beats Dunkin's packaged coffee. Right now, buy 3 pounds and get a 4th free. Only at Dunkin' Donuts restaurants. So give America's favorite coffee as a gift or stock up yourself. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Happy holidays, everyone. Glad you could make it to the house. Who's up for some Dunkin' coffee? Grandma, let's start with you.
Hazelnut, please.
Cousin Mark?
Original blend.
Vanessa?
Your holidays are covered with Dunkin' coffee. Buy it by the pound or try our new Dunkin' K-Cup packs. Only at Dunkin' stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price of participation may vary.
I love,
love
this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
This is the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones, live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studio inside Gillette Stadium. Hit up Adam on the Ace Ticket hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
Patriots take care of the Miami Dolphins 27-24 here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show. We are live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Couple of questions, because we told you if the Patriots win a week from Sunday against Buffalo, they will be the number one seed. We've had a couple of questions about whether or not the Patriots would still be the one seed should they lose to Buffalo next week. Well, if Pittsburgh and Baltimore win, assuming they'd all be tied with 12 wins, if either of them win and are tied with the Patriots with 12 wins, Baltimore would likely be the one seed given strength of victory. Right now they're at 482, New England is at 429, and Baltimore's would go up. Pittsburgh obviously wins the head-to-head with New England. So if the Patriots lose and either Baltimore or Pittsburgh wins, there's a good chance that the Patriots will not be the number one seed. So take care of Buffalo, you're the top seed in the AFC. Simple as that. If not, you're probably going to tumble to the number two seed. It is a Sun Life Patriots postgame show here on Patriots.com. You can give us a call. He's ticket hotline, 508-298-0398, or email us webradio@patriots.com. Do want to hear from Devin McCourty, who spoke with reporters following the game, and I thought he had a rough day. We've had some mixed emails on him since he had a breakup. He had an interception in the game. I just thought it was an atrocious day from McCourty. Here's the Patriots cornerback following their win over the Dolphins.
He's going to make some plays, but you got to try to make some plays out of yourself. So there was definitely a battle over that.
You almost have to concede him getting yards and catches, but knowing that because they target him so much, you'll have some chances to make some plays?
Yeah, you know, they throw him a lot, so he's going to get the chance to make some plays. But, you know, the ball's coming at you a lot, so you have chances to make plays. And at times I did that, and at times I didn't. So just got to be more consistent.
Believe it or not, that one play can turn around the game, just that fumble recovery kind of got everyone all snowballed into that direction.
Yeah, and our friend, they've been playing big all year, and that stuff doesn't just happen. You know, guys getting after the quarterback, putting pressure on the center and offensive line, and a bad quarterback exchange, and Vince was able to get on the big play.
What happened at halftime that you guys, you're down 17-0, it's kind of a talk in here?
Just keep fighting. You know, we got 30 minutes to go. We got to keep playing. You know, we can't go out there and just concede losing. Just go out there and keep fighting and see what happens.
Defensively?
Yeah, hopefully it means that I'll keep running.
Defensively, what was the difference between what you guys were doing in the first half and what you guys did in the second half?
Just making plays. Some plays in the first half that if we would have just made them, you know, the game would have been different. And kept points off the board. And in the second half, we made some of those plays, and that was the difference.
Devin, you're pretty good to push the bye here, get a first round bye for the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing today was the fight, you know, come out and go into halftime down 17, and just to go back out there and show the character of this team. I think that was a bigger thing for this team, to be tested like that and come out with a victory today.
Devin, they were sure after you today, weren't
you? Yeah, you know, when you line up against Marshall a lot, you know, they're not going to not throw him the ball, so cover him. You know you're going to get a lot of balls your way. They have guys out there that can make plays, so they were able to put the ball in there, and we made some plays, and they definitely made some too.
Now, after the first half, and to see the second half, the defense come up with a couple big plays. You're able to play against his fumble recovery, so the defense did get the job.
Yeah, he was able to turn the game around, get our offense sparking. You know, if we give them guys, if we give those guys a chance to make plays, they're going to do it, and they're going to put points on the board. So our job is just keep giving them the ball as many times as we can.
You said you just have to be more consistent, talking about them making plays, you making plays. How do you find that consistency?
I think battling, you know, keep fighting, and the biggest thing is putting the pressure on ourselves to make plays. You know, sometimes we're in perfect position, you know, playing the first half, I was in perfect position, just got to make the play, and I think we got to keep putting that pressure on ourselves to do that.
All right, that was Patriots cornerback Devin McCourty, and as he said, he feels that he was in position to make plays. I would beg to differ on that. Didn't make enough of them in that game today. I thought it was a rough game for him, certainly on my bad list, despite that 27-24 win over the Dolphins today as the Patriots pick up their 12th win of the season here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show on Patriots.com. Let's go back out to the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. That's where Melvin dials us up. What's going on, Melvin?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing excellent, man.
Great. I have one more quick comment I have to make. We're really just about the pass rush. I was expecting, well, a lot of times when I see them try to rush the quarterback, I feel like I see a lot of defensive tackles out there almost. I feel like when Ninkovich or maybe Anderson's in there a little bit more and maybe a little bit lighter and more speed, I feel like we get to the quarterback. But I don't see how we could get to the quarterback with, you know, so many defensive tackles out there. I don't think they're really built for pass rushing itself. And speaking of McCourty, kind of leaves him out there to dry, which I'm not saying that's not his fault, because obviously some of that is pure one-on-one and it's completely his fault. But also, what are the chances of Arrington now be our number one corner and McCourty being number two, because now he's getting burnt by number two and three receivers.
Well,
and it's just ridiculous.
Well, Melvin, and thanks for the phone call, 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. I didn't think it was a great day for Arrington either. He was beat on that Marshall touchdown, or it was him and Sergio Brown, you know, one of those two. I thought Arrington pretty consistently was struggling in coverage. Remember that 10-yard play from Hartline that Belichick reviewed? That was Arrington in coverage. I didn't think he had a great game. And I'll tell you, what was it, 3 weeks ago, a month ago, I came in and said, I think Arrington does have a bit of Asante Samuel in him, in that when the play's there to be made, he makes it. Hasn't exactly made it now for about a month, so I may have been a little premature in that assessment of Kyle Arrington. It is the Patriots postgame show presented by Sun Life. I'm Adam Jones, live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Sun Life, by the way, is among the highest-rated insurance companies in the United States. For group life, disability, and dental benefits, get to know Sun Life at www.sunlife.com. We've given you the picture in the AFC. Let's give you a picture of the division as we go around the AFC East here on the Patriots postgame show.
It's time to go around the AFC East on the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones. Get the latest news and information on the Bills, Dolphins, and Jets. Adam Jones has the latest divisional scores and standings from around the AFC East.
You know what happened with the Dolphins today? They fall to 5-10, 27-24 to the Patriots. It was not that kind of day for the Dolphins today, Kevin. Jumped out to a great first half and wound up collapsing in that second half. How about the Jets, though? We've talked about them a bit. They dropped to 8-7 with a 29-14 loss to the Giants. Eli Manning.
That's being a jackass.
Eli Manning, just 9-27, but did have a touchdown pass to Victor Cruz. It was 99 yards. Bradshaw with a couple of scores on the ground. Brandon Jacobs mouthing off to Rex Ryan, apparently, after the game. And the Jets fall to 8-7 after what's technically a home loss. But look, it's the same home stadium for both those teams. They're now on the outside looking in. The Bengals win next week. The Bengals are going to be the sixth seed in the AFC. So the Jets do themselves no favors. They take on the Dolphins next week at 1 o'clock. And then Buffalo, shockingly to me, snaps a seven-game losing streak by just blowing out my guy, Tim Tebow, and the Denver Broncos, 40-14. C.J. Spiller, 111 yards and a score in that one. Tebow, just 13-30. A couple of back-breaking picks in that one. As the Broncos maybe giving away the AFC West, they're now tied with the Raiders at 8-7 apiece. Next up for the Bills, of course, the New England Patriots, a week from Sunday here in Foxborough. One more email here on the Patriots postgame show. Mark writes in, Adam, my question is there any AFC team that can beat any of the top three teams in the NFC in the Super Bowl? Green Bay, New Orleans, or San Francisco? I lop San Francisco right off that list. I know they took care of the Steelers convincingly on Monday night in San Francisco. Dinged up Ben Roethlisberger. I'm still not buying into the Niners. Call me a hater. Call me whatever. I'm not buying in on that team. The answer is no. To me, there's not an AFC team that's beating Green Bay, or New Orleans. I think the Steelers in another shot with the Niners could. I think the Patriots could beat the Niners. I think the Ravens could beat the Niners. I think a lot of teams in the AFC could beat the Niners. But none of those teams, to me, are beating Green Bay or New Orleans. That balance of power has shifted to the NFC. You know, those. I wouldn't be shocked if New Orleans beats Green Bay. And I was saying that before Green Bay lost the game. I think New Orleans is legit. Those are your last two Super Bowl winners. And I think New Orleans is not afraid of Green Bay. They showed that week one. They almost beat Green Bay the first week of the season. So I think those are the two best teams in the NFL. They both reside in the NFC. And answer Mark's question, no. I don't think there's an AFC team that can beat either of those top two NFC teams. However, the Patriots get into a Super Bowl, I think a lot of Patriots fans will take their chances in that game. And the Patriots with the win next week over Buffalo will be the number one seed in the AFC and the favorite in my eyes, should they take care of the Buffalo Bills. Hopefully they don't have that same type of rocky start that they had in the first half this week. This has been the Sun Life Financial Patriots postgame show here on Patriots.com with Adam Jones. Want to wish everyone a happy holidays, including our guys behind the scenes, Kevin Collins, also Matt LePan. They do an excellent job all regular season. Happy holidays to those guys. Happy holidays to everybody who dialed us up here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show on Patriots.com as the Patriots locked down a bye week and improved to 12-3 with a 27-24 victory over the Miami Dolphins. We will talk to you a week from Sunday as the Patriots welcome the Buffalo Bills into Foxborough. Those red-hot Bills with a win this week. Check in at 6-9. And again, if the Patriots take care of business, they will be the top seed in the AFC, and they've already earned a bye week until the weekend of the 14th and the 15th in January. We'll talk to you a week from Sunday here on the Sun Life Patriots postgame show on Patriots.com.
It's beginning to feel a lot like Christmas.
This has been the Sun Life Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones on Patriots.com radio. For more news, analysis, and reaction from today's game, tune into Patriots.com radio all week. Tuesday through Thursday, starting at noon, it's PFW in progress, Patriots Playbook, and the Pete Shepherd Show. Next Sunday, the Patriots wrap up the regular season at home against the Buffalo Bills. Kickoff is set for 1 p.m. Please stay tuned for the Sun Life Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones immediately following the game. Log on to Patriots.com anytime for the most up-to-date news and information on your favorite team.